with me here today, and it'll serve as a little outline for my lesson here today. As you're settling back in, let me take this opportunity to welcome all those who are out with us here today. Got a great number out with us here today. Welcome. If you're visiting with us, we especially want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel like an honored guest here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. Hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We are a people of the book, that is the Bible. We believe that it is what it reports to be, the revealed word of God. The Hebrew writer one time said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has spoken. God has weighed in on the affairs of man and told us exactly what his will is. And when our back, Paul one time in Ephesians 5:17 said, be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. And we wish to understand the will of the Lord here this morning. And so we're going to spend this time worshiping, bringing honor and glory to God by preaching and teaching his word. I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left. Chapter and verse from the Bible, the word of God, for everything I got to say here this morning. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom or teaching of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. This being the last Lord's Day of the year of this particular month, we have been endeavoring, working together here under the oversight of our two wonderful elders with the theme of a church with a mind to work. And I really love that theme. I like the one that's coming up in 2022 as well, Lord willing, but I like this one. A church with a mind to work, a mindset that we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to work and labor in the vineyard of God. And every month we have chosen a different thing from the Word of God to focus on, to consider, to think about, meditate upon, and to do better at, and to work on, both individually and then collectively together as the Lord's church. And this month we have been talking about prayer. And what I'd like to do here this morning is I'd like to bring forth a lesson that I've entitled The Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not talking about the one in Matthew chapter 6, beginning about verse 8 through 10 or 12 there, where a lot of people like to recite the model prayer when the disciples said, hey, teach us how to pray. And Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and on that goes. That is a model prayer. We've talked a little bit about that this month, and different ideas of acceptable prayer unto God. But this morning, I want to take a look at an actual prayer, a prayer that Jesus prayed, because there are so many wonderful lessons that you and I can learn about the Lord and things that you and I can emulate and put to practice in our life so that we might be more pleasing to God as we leave this place better than what we did when we came in. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of read through this chapter with you and kind of pick out some things in regards to the Lord's Prayer here this morning that for us to just kind of consider here for just a few short moments. Well, 1926 minutes, something like that. 19 minutes, 26 seconds, Gerald, something like that, all right? And then I'll let you go. I got to get to Mission Barbecue. I got a coupon. So I got to get back. I'm like everybody else, so you can just hang in there. We'll go through this chapter together and hopefully bring honor and glory unto God. So in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, I read, these words spoke Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes into heaven and he said, Father, the hour is come. Think about that for a second. What hour is he talking about? The hour has come. You know, many times throughout the ministry of Jesus, we hear Jesus say, hey, my hour is not come. In John chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus said to her, woman, what do I have to do with this? My hour is not yet come. Later on in chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come. But yet as Jesus begins this prayer, he says, the hour is come. In chapter 12, beginning verse 23, that same book, John, and Jesus answered and said, the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If a man will serve me,
him will my Father honor. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus said, my hour has come. That is, my death on the cross has come. Jesus Christ in this prayer speaks of glorifying God through the sacrifice of himself on the cross. My hour has come. Thy Son may glorify you, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Verse 2, and you've given him eternal life to as many as he would give. And this is life eternal, that they might know you. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. The hour has come. Jesus Christ is going to die upon the cross. And what I want you to understand here is Jesus is beginning his prayer. His concern is in glorifying God. And he is glorifying God through sacrifice. And that's how you and I are going to glorify God. We need to make sure that our priority, both collectively and individually, that the things that we say and do bring honor and glory unto God. And we're going to do that through our personal sacrifice. In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God created us to bring glory unto him. In Psalms 29 and verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Unto him be glory in the church. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. As the Lord begins his prayer, I want you to see this. Jesus was concerned and made it a priority to glorify God. And that has got to be a priority in our life, to glorify God. And we will glorify God through our sacrifice. But also notice verse 6. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest to me out of the world. They were yours, now they're mine, and they have kept thy word. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them. Verse 9, and all are mine, and all are yours, and I am glorified in them. I want you to see this. These people, what set them apart in Jesus' mind was that they kept the words of God. That's what divided these men from the world. They received the word of God, they kept the word of God, and they obeyed the word of God. Jesus said one time in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, well, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, I will profess to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew thee, ye who work iniquity. Why? Because they wouldn't hear the words of God. They wouldn't do what God had said. The world won't hear it. I don't believe that. Oh, I don't believe that those things are that way. Even religious people, the dividing line between the world and the people of God are those who are keeping the words of God. Jesus in John 8:31 says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. As Jesus prayed this prayer, I see the dividing line. He said, these have received and they have kept my word. Are you keeping the words of God? Notice verse 11 here of John chapter 17. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through your own name, that those who you have given me, that they all might be one. Jesus wanted these apostles to be united and to stay united. And we must all do that if we're going to be successful. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Speaking of Apollos and himself and really all of us who labor in the vineyard. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, he says, I planted, that's Paul, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, or he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For you are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We must see and stress the value of being united at the Clarksville Church of Christ in our work for evangelism. The Lord's prayer was unity amongst the believers. Notice verse 12. He goes on to say, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come unto thee, and these things I speak into the world. I have given them thy word in the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is true. Jesus prays that they are going to be separate from the world by the words of God. We are in the world, but if we're not careful at times, we want to be like the world. We want to blend in with the world. We want to be accepted. We want to dress and act and talk and be entertained and have the same ambition as the world. And Jesus is praying, keep them from that. Keep them from that trap. In Luke 8:14, he says, and those that fell among the thorns are they which have heard, and they go forth, and they are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit unto perfection. Jesus is praying. This is the Lord's prayer, that we might be separate from the world by the word. How are we different? Through the word. We obey the word, and that makes us different. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is at enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James 4 and verse 4. How is it that I am to be separate from the world? By his word. You know, there's a lot of folks that have the idea that you've got to be some nut, right? You've got to be some Christian nut. That's what Christianity is all about. I walk around with nut on my forehead. And what I want you to understand is that isn't true. Look, if everyone in the world is running away from God and you're running to God, who's going to look odd? You are. Wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. I mean, going to look silly. We are. But look, that's all you have to do to look odd. We don't have to do anything more than that. You don't just don't fit in. I mean, God hasn't called us to be religious nuts. He's just called us to follow his word. And if you will follow his word, you'll be different. And that's all the different you ever need to be. They'll still think you're a nut. I'm just saying you don't have to act like a nut. I wish you wouldn't act like a nut, by the way. Sanctify them by thy truth. Sanctify. We've talked about holy, separate. Separate them from the world. How? By thy truth. Thy word is the truth. I am separate from the world because I obey the word. The world does not, and they hate that, and I am separated from that. He also who received seed, Jesus said, among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And that's why Jesus is mindful of here. Help them to be in the world, but not to get caught up in being like the world. And we see that all the time. We see folks drifting away as they get caught up in the world. Be in the world, Jesus says, but not like the world. And we're different from the world. How? By being obedient to his word. You obey the word, and you will be different. Notice verse 18. He says there, and as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, for that is set myself apart, that they also might be set apart through the truth. Notice, Jesus says, insulate them from the world, but don't isolate them from the world. See, that's different. They both start with I know, but that means something totally different. He said, you sent me into the world, but I was separate from the world. I now send them into the world, but they are to be separate. I mean, look, the truth of the matter is, we're in the world. I don't want them to like the world, but I'm sending them out into the world, but not to blend in and be like the world. Not building a wall around them, but sending them out in their midst. Listen, it's hard to obey. Go into all nations and preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit behind walls. That's difficult to do. You have to go out into the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's hard to do behind closed doors. You don't isolate yourself from the world, but you insulate yourself from the world. Look, I mean, we've got to be so filled up with the Word of God that when the world comes around, we exude that work. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus one time said, I remember one time staying at a cousin's house up in New London, Ohio, and we would go down to the cistern and get water out for an aunt. Well, that water was cold. Middle of summer. Get that out. And I can remember carrying those big old buckets of water. And my cousin's name's Jerry. And Jerry came up there and run up and kind of bumped me. Thought that was funny. And I just sloshed that water all over it. And that's kind of how we are. That is, when people of the world come and they kind of bump into us or they're around us, we're just so filled up with that. They can't help but be kind of sloshed over with the Word of God. Why? Because we exude it. Because we live it. And therefore they see it. I am in the world, but I am insulated from the world. Jesus prays, I want them safe. I want them to be helped. Paul would say that you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Listen. In the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye also shine as lights in the world. In the world, but insulated from the world. I want them to be like me. I was in the world, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus was in the world, but he was insulating himself from the world, not isolating himself. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have a different mindset than those that I'm in the middle of. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Notice verse 20 really quickly. Neither pray for I these alone, but for they which shall believe on me through the word, that they all might be one, Father, as you are in me, and I am in thee. Verse 23, and I in them, that thou art in me, that they may be one, perfect in us, that the world might know that you sent me, and have loved me, and thou had loved them, and thou hast loved me. He talks about the unity through doctrine. We read in Acts 2 and verse 42, the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We have fellowship with him, John would say in 1 John 1, 3, when we teach his word, we have fellowship with him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Many think that doctrine causes division. And what I want you to see is that isn't true. Doctrine brings unity. And don't let anyone ever intimidate you from teaching and preaching the truth. Truth unifies that. That's what we're all about. Till we've all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure and stature of the fullness of God. Verse 15 of Ephesians 4. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Therein lies a problem sometimes. If we don't speak the truth in love, we can get ourselves in trouble. Someone says, let's not talk about that. We might drive somebody away. No, I don't ever become afraid to talk about anything that God has said. Let's talk about those things, but we talk about those in a loving way. Never, ever, ever be uncomfortable talking about it. We get uncomfortable because we're waiting for that brother to condemn everybody else to hell.
know who you are. But we're going to speak the truth, but we're going to speak it in love. Because God wants people to know the truth. This is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is not the problem. Doctrine is not the problem. The Word of God and its teachings on every subject is what unites us. Notice verse. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ wishes for you to live with him. Listen to that. Jesus Christ, the Lord, in his prayer, is praying that you one day might be able to be with him. He said, listen, you believe in God in John chapter 14 and verse 1, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So where I am, you may be also. Jesus Christ's desire is for you to be with him in heaven. Paul was saying in Philippians 3 verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven where Jesus is, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like into his glorious body. And finally, notice these last two verses, if you would please. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and you have known those who sent me, and I have declared to them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus prays of the supremacy of love in our life. Jesus says, I want them to have the same love the Father has for the Son, that they have that for Jesus, and that they have that for one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, even so, let each one of you love one another. And by this, the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Love is what sets us apart, and it is what will draw others to God through us, living by and teaching his word. People are looking for a place where they can be apart and be loved. And that's the reason why the Lord would pray it. Because people are drawn to the love of God. If we'll have that kind of love wherewith God loved his Son among us, then Katie, bar the back door. People want to be a part of that. The Word of God says that at any given time, people are flowing into the kingdom of God, and it is because of the Lord that God has demonstrated to them in their lives his love for them. And we need to be doing that here. And if we want to continue to bring others to Jesus Christ, we will be the answer to his prayers. You've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. It's the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. He prayed for glorifying God through sacrifice and keeping God's word, unity in the work, for being separate from the world by the word of God, insulated from the world, but not isolated from the world. The unity through his teachings, his desire for you to be in heaven with him, and that love is supreme in our lives. And if we've learned these lessons here this morning, our time has been spent very profitably. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you. Either one of our audience has ever been obedient to the words of Jesus when he said, go into the world, teach this good news. He that believes in and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Nine times. That was preached in the book of Acts, where I see people responding in an affirmative way, repenting of their sin, turning from their sin and past teachings, and becoming obedient to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They were all baptized for the remission of your sins, and you can as well here this very morning. We extend the invitation to you, saying this song of encouragement. So if you're subject to it anyway, come.